This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
Intuition.
Curiosity.
The next idea.
There is no straight path from your seat today to where you are going. Don't try to draw that line. You will not just get it wrong. You will miss big opportunities.
Innovation and new ideas for Michigan are the focus of our Next Idea project. And as the Next Ideas partner innovation expert and U of M professor Jeff DeGraff has said so many times on this program, one of the main drivers of innovation is collaboration. Collaboration between people with very different backgrounds, expertise, and points of view. Well, there's one entry in this year's Art Prize competition in Grand Rapids that really intrigued us because of its unusual collaboration. The ambitious Rumsey Street Project. It's a partnership between Habitat for Humanity of Kent County, the Grand Rapids neighborhood of Roosevelt Park, and Site Lab, the Grand Rapids-based volunteer art organization. Altogether, they've turned an entire block into an art prize entry. Here to talk about that now is Paul Amenta. He's the curator and co-founder of Site Lab. Welcome, Paul.
Thanks for having me.
And we have Ivor Thomas with us. Ivor is Director of Land Acquisition and Community Development for Habitat for Humanity of Kent County. Welcome, Ivor.
Thank you.
Paul, I want to start with you. Describe what the Rumsey Street Project looks like, because you've basically taken over the whole block for Art Prize.
Essentially, we have 10 buildings on nearly 5 acres of property that we have transformed into site-specific projects. So essentially, we gave an entire building over to an artist or collaborative group. Some unique features of this block that we're using, there happens to be a small church there and buildings associated with that former church. There's also an auto body shop, and then the rest of the buildings are residential houses.
So a real mix of buildings, and what kinds of things have the artist done with these buildings?
Well, there's quite a range. For instance, the auto body shop, the exterior was painted by LA-based artist Mark Dean Vecca. Very colorful, vibrant project. And then in contrast to that, a New York-based artist, Nick Klein, transformed the church by flipping over every other board on the church to sort of give it this striped appearance. The title of the piece is Stripes for St. Joseph. The previous congregation was named St. Joseph the Worker, so he was sort of riffing off the context of that site there. We have a house next to it, the rectory, the former rectory, which has been taken over by an artist from Brooklyn, Diana Spungen, and she covered the entire house with graphite and also has hand-drawn animations that are projected in 9 of the windows. And then down the block from that project is a project by Kate Gilmore, and she's using the former nunnery building, and she has painted the entire exterior pink and the entire interior sort of a very vibrant red. And then in those windows are swinging female performers that swing gently out the window. So quite a range of projects, but they're all quite elaborate and quite large.
Ivor, how did this idea for collaborating with Site Lab come about? I understand you approached Site Lab with this idea.
I entered the picture with a phone call to me that I've got these guys down here at Cafe Aromas in the neighborhood, and Ivor, can you come down and talk about this idea of combining what Site Lab does with our property and what we're projecting to do in the future? And went down there over coffee, and it was an amazing conversation. And I think everyone around that table recognized right away at that point that this had to happen.
And, Paul, this was kind of different for Site Lab in many ways. Before you even started working on these buildings, you spent time in the neighborhood, right, going to community leaders and talking with residents. What was that like?
Quite amazing, actually. I mean, we spent a lot of time reaching out and meeting people from the community, and it's not something that we have done before. This is pretty unique in that this neighborhood is predominantly Latino. And typically we'll take over a building downtown and use it for, you know, maybe a month or two. This was a unique opportunity for us to reach out to a community, particularly in the context of of us using the site for an extended period of time, we wanted to be very cautious about, you know, sort of just landing there and, you know, saying, you know, sort of deal with us. We wanted to make sure people were knowledgeable about our plans and Habitat's plans for the redevelopment of that property. That was extremely important to us, that the neighborhood had buy-in to this thing.
Ivor, what has surprised you and the folks at Habitat about this collaboration?
What am I surprised about? I guess I was really pleasantly surprised at the opening event when I recognized how many actual residents of the neighborhood were out viewing all of the presentations. I didn't maybe expect that to happen so quickly, but it was wonderful.
And what about, have you seen people that would had not been through that neighborhood? Has that drawn in new people?
Yeah, and at the same time, absolutely, people who I could almost guarantee you have never set foot, you know, at least their shoe on the ground in the neighborhood. And again, that was the hope from the beginning, and so really we're seeing as we're going through this exactly what we'd hoped for in every way. Residents connecting with people from outside the neighborhood, vice versa. And I've always believed that arts and music is a way to bring people together that can't be done in other ways.
Paul, what about you? What's worked well for you in your mind or surprised you about this collaboration?
Well, I think many things have worked well. You know, we've just met so many folks that live in that neighborhood, and they've everybody that we've met have been so welcoming to us. And there was this one moment I had this group of graduate students from the Sculpture Department of Indiana University up, and I was giving this tour, and one of the grad students asked me how the neighborhood felt about this project. And this guy, almost on cue, walked by. His name was David. I had just met him at that moment. And he said, "Hey, whatever you guys are doing, keep it up. This is awesome. I love it." And then he just walked on. It was just this, you know, sort of spontaneous moment. And that's sort of the response we've been getting. People are really excited to, you know, this was a vacant neighborhood, essentially. And you didn't see a lot of people walking down the street. And the other night at 10 o'clock, and it was relatively dark, you know, I'm watching this young mother from the neighborhood take her child right down the street. And it's pretty amazing to see the transformation.
Yeah, on the next idea, we explore innovation and look for new ways to break the status quo in Michigan. And one of the key concepts behind all of that is putting together people and organizations with different backgrounds who really wouldn't have apparently obvious connections. It really does seem like you really have found something new that really is working for this project. So, Ivor, from your perspective at Habitat for Humanity, how do you think this collaboration might change the way you do things moving forward?
Well, I know that it'll change the way we do things moving forward. Some of it is affirmation of the principles that we've always operated by, is that, number one, everything starts with a relationship. And so, you know, as big as this thing's gotten, and it's going to get even bigger, it all really started with a relationship. And then not being afraid to think out of the box, talk out of the box, plan out of the box. And then just be respectful with building relationships along the way. And I think that's how you end up with something like this.
Paul, what about from your perspective? What did you learn here that you're going to want to take with you and apply in future projects?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I know this has changed the way we think about projects, as I was talking about earlier. Usually we use a single building. It's often downtown. And maybe we're not so concerned necessarily about the impact on the neighbors that we're having, because often we're using a building for a relatively short amount of time. You know, we work directly with, you know, the property owner, developer. You know, we do our thing, and then we sort of, you know, get out of there. Where this project in particular, where we're going to do multiple projects over a much longer period of time, you know, really forced us to think about the impact. And
because this is 2 years, isn't it?
Yeah, so we're going to have this property through the end of 2016. We'll do a project in the spring and then certainly do another Art Prize project next year. But, we're the type of organization that we're always looking for unique opportunities, and, you know, whether they're presented or we seek them out, and then we're responsive. But I think we're going to learn a ton from this particular project. And, you know, as we move forward, you know, I'm really excited with the possibilities. But this has been such a learning experience and a really special experience for me personally. I think it will certainly help direct the way we move forward with projects in the future.
Paul Ametta is co-founder of Site Lab. It's an all-volunteer arts organization in Grand Rapids. And Ivor Thomas is director of land acquisition and community development at Habitat for Humanity of Kent County, speaking about the Rumsey Street project, which launched at this year's Art Prize, and you can see and view for the next year and a half. Really great talking with both of you. Thank you so much for joining us on The Next Idea.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Support for The Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.